It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast, episode 327, and I'm your host, Adam Mangum. Bronco Mendenhall is back in the news, and Matt and I discuss his somewhat controversial Bronco-like comments. BYU's football schedule is a tough one this season, and we pick which of the big games we'd most want the Cougars to win. And lastly, what would you say to J.R. Smith if you saw him on a plane? This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. Catch this and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout and listen to us right now. So Matt, have you seen Solo yet?
I have not. I'm probably the solo person out there who hasn't seen it.
And judging by its box office results, you're probably not the solo person. Very clever, but by the way, very funny. You're hilarious.
I try.
Try harder. Anyway, if you, for those of you that are interested, Sam and I did a Bleep podcast where you can find that at DeseretNews.com/podcast or on iTunes. Sam and I, or one of our other brothers, did a podcast talking about that we liked it. It's a good movie. You should see it. I won't.
About going to see it tonight, but I'm recording a podcast tonight.
So I interrupted your movie going.
The timing didn't work out.
That's all right.
I was otherwise engaged.
That's all right. Okay, so let's just open up with a tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
And it's from our brother Don. It's apparently just a
Mangum night, everybody. Yeah,
here we go. Besides watching old games on BYU TV and listening to the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast, how can I fill the emptiness of this part of the off season? You know, we answer this question every year, and I have a very simple answer: baseball.
Yes.
And I know
What was I doing right before you and I started this call? Do you know what I was doing?
Watching the Nats.
It's exactly what I was doing.
I was watching the Red Sox. They were winning.
This evening I dined at Torchy Tacos with the Nats streaming on my phone.
I believe
the kids say, living my best life. That's what that is, right?
I don't know that the kids say that, but it
kids
is.
Tweet about it, or they hashtag it.
Yeah, they don't say it.
They use the hashtags.
You may have heard of those. The hashtags. It also hashtags. Sounds like. I got that rack bottom hashtags. I need a drink of water. So anyway, I was thinking. Here's a few other things you can do this summer to fill up the emptiness.
Let's make a list.
Baseball is our number one, but some of you don't like baseball because you're weird. All right, fine. You don't like baseball. How about the World Cup?
World Cup is a great choice.
Support Russia and watch the World Cup. Is it in Russia this year?
There are jokes here. I'm going to choose to leave that one alone. There's some political jokes. I'm going to choose to steer clear.
Yeah, that's wise. That's wise. So the world.
Or you could learn to cure your own meats.
You can cure your own meats. I was going to say crochet.
There's some hobbies you can pick up. Crocheting.
Yeah, my daughter is getting into crocheting. So if you're into arts and crafts, that's something else you could do is crochet. I could see some of our listeners doing that. I also watch lots of movies. So watch movies. Go see Incredibles 2 this weekend. That looks like a good
movie. I watched last night for the first time, amazingly enough, Doctor Strange.
Ooh, how'd you like it?
That was awesome.
Good. Did we talk about this last week? No, we
weren't on
last week.
You haven't told me what it is yet.
We weren't on last week. I watched A Quiet Place.
Oh.
Amazing. I loved it. I absolutely loved that movie.
I need to go see that.
I think it's mostly out of the theaters. So
I know. It's hard to find.
You'll probably have to watch it, alone one night in a hotel room while you're traveling for work.
When you say it that way, it sounds kind of creepy, but that's probably what will actually end up happening.
And that's kind of the thing. It's kind of creepy. Anyway, so those are some ideas, folks. Those are some ideas. All right, so Matt, let's go to the CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, 8 BYU Cougars were named All-Americans, NCAA All-Americans, because of their performance at the NCAA Track and Field Championships this past weekend. I believe it was in Oregon, right, Eugene?
Always in
Eugene. I don't know. Did you watch that awesome comeback? It had nothing to do with BYU on the.
No, but that was amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing. I've got some friends actually. Seth has sent in questions before. A big BYU sports fan. He's a professor at the University of Oregon, and they were there. I saw at Twitter. They actually saw that that race live. But anyway, they probably also saw some of these BYU athletes, eight of whom were named All-Americans, including Andrea Stapleton Johnson, who got it there on the last day on the high jump. So, congrats to all the Cougars that were.
The high jump looks really difficult to me.
I tried it when I was in track and field in high school and not successfully.
You wait a second. I did not realize that you had done track and field at one point in high school.
I did it for one season.
Attaboy.
I did it for one season. Spring, sophomore year, maybe? I think it was sophomore year. I did 800s. That's a distance, right?
800s. Yeah, that's a distance, and that's a terrible distance.
Oh, it's brutal.
It's extremely painful. I think the 400 is bad enough.
I was not good. I was not a whatever. Those are still sprinters, right?
Yeah, at the 800, the 400 is definitely a sprint. I don't know if...
Is it considered a sprint? I don't know. I was terrible
at all of it.
That's
a long ways to sprint.
Let me just say I wasn't sprinting 800 meters. That is for sure.
I do speed workouts now for my running that involve running 800s, but not, like, I don't sprint them. Of course, I'm also not, like, an Olympic athlete. I could even run 800 on the Norwell High School track team. So probably not the best barometer for this.
Go Clippers. Speaking of you know, all of the Olympic sports for BYU, they won the sixth consecutive West Coast Conference Commissioner's Cup, which is awarded to the institution that had the most overall success across all the sports during conference play. And this is now a record in the WCC for most in a row. How long have we been in this thing? 6 years, right?
Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry, San Diego and
sorry.
St. Mary's.
I know
and
that
Loyola
we're
Marymount.
Like perpetually third place in basketball, but we're just going to crush you and everything else. Sorry.
So the top three were...
We're just way bigger than all of you.
Yeah, the top three was BYU, Loyola Marymount, and Gonzaga. But in men's sports, we finished second to San Francisco. We were victorious on the women's side.
That's embarrassing. That's like when the U.S. men's national basketball team stopped winning gold medals. That's what that looks like to
me.
No,
it doesn't.
That's absurd.
There's fewer men's sports.
They should be ashamed. They should be ashamed of themselves. Is the Commissioner Cup like that? Like the House Cup in Harry Potter? Is it similar?
It looks like it. I mean,
it kind of does,
it's
right?
A big cup. Yeah.
Yeah.
This picture here has Mr. Homo receiving. As is Associate Athletic Director Liz Darger and Kevin Worthen, who I believe is the president of BYU. Though I couldn't have picked him out of a lineup, I'll be honest.
Are you serious? Oh, he's a great story. You need to go back to the BYU Magazine article when he was named. He's a great story. He's a great guy.
Article.
Great guy.
He seems like a great guy, but I just don't. It's not the same as when you were there and you see him at all the devotionals and stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, who was the BYU president for most of your time?
Merrill J. Bateman.
See, do you know who used and I was I got some Merrill J. and I got some Cecil O. Cecil O. was out a lot more.
I didn't get any Cecil O. I got Rexy Lee, freshman year, and then Merrill J. the rest of my time that I was there. I mean, the guy wore a freaking red tie.
I think I had Cecil O. for a semester. Maybe a semester.
The guy wore a red tie when Utah was making its NCAA tournament run. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't
made
know about that.
Made me throw up in my mouth. Anyway, next on the agenda is baseball. BYU baseball had two Cougars were drafted. Let's see. It's Drew Zimmerman. No, Zimmerman was the freshman All-American. And then it was...
Schneeman.
Schneeman and Clausen were drafted in, let's see, the 37th round and 33rd round, respectively. So not likely to make the majors, but get a chance to probably fill out a roster in the minor leagues. And, you know, a chance is something, right? There's been a few major leaguers who've come out of that late in the draft. Mike Piazza came out late.
Well, and I'll tell you, if you're going to get drafted by a Cleveland sports team, Indians is the team you want to be on.
This is true. This is true. Anyway, let's see. Last up on Cougars in the news is a former Cougar, Bronco Mendenhall.
Oh, yes.
Now, you and I have made a practice of not talking a ton about Bronco and the University of Virginia on this show. He's the former coach. We talk about mostly the current team. And most of the Bronco chatter is, I hate Bronco. And you and I were never really in the I hate Bronco camp, right?
No, I did never. I never set up camp there.
But anyway, Andre Hutchins, that's at AC_Hutchins, says, please discuss your thoughts on Bronco Mendenhall's interview. If you haven't seen it, here it is. Well, Matt, had you been following this story? Andre's tweet news to you?
I came across this story on Twitter earlier in the day or something before I saw the agenda.
Okay.
And read a couple of stories that had been put out by Virginia Press covering comments that Mendenhall made during his State of the Union visit with the Board of Visitors at the University of Virginia.
Yes. Yes. And so there was a...
What's a Board of Visitors? I don't know what that means. Apparently it's not a tour group.
They're the University of Virginia. They're not even... They're different. They've been around a long time. So Sam Bloom was the original author of this, and he is a writer for The News and Advance, which is basically a newspaper, if they even have those anymore. And he basically roasts Mendenhall in an article and mocks a few things that Mendenhall said to the UVA Board of Visitors. And I read this article, and then Mike Florio picked up Bloom's article basically word for word on NBC Sports. So I had read those first, and I was just like, okay, this is like crazy even for Bronco, right, when you read Bloom's version. But then our good old friend Justin Sweeney, he tweets to Andre's tweet with a different version of the story, which I had only seen before Andre. I had only seen the Bloom version of the story. And so the second version of this story is Paul Wiley, and Paul Wiley writes for SB Nation. And he basically just rips Bloom's take and says it was totally different. So anyway, all that aside, here's what Bronco, I think, said, basically. He recruits not based on getting, and nor does his program exist to prepare people for the NFL. Does that shock you, knowing what you know about Bronco Mendenhall?
I believe that's always been true.
Okay. The second thing he said was that going to the NFL is not the... Now, some of his statistics were a little off, but that going to the NFL is not a win-win proposition for most of the athletes that go there. It's actually, for many of them, they end up bankrupt, divorced, or worse. Does that surprise you?
No.
And it's factual, even though some of his stats were a little off and can be disputed, but... The fact is, most NFL players don't get to their second contract. That is just true, right? So,
right.
He said that. But the last one I thought was interesting. He basically said he had 25 ACC quality guys on the roster. And, you know, so he goes through and says all that. Does that surprise you?
That one is a little surprising. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I...
Zing!
Now, to be fair, Paul Wiley goes through and basically explains that a lot of people on the roster of every school don't quote-unquote belong there, right? Meaning they're never going to play. You've got walk-ons. You've got some scholarship guys that just never pan out, right? You know, you got 90 guys on the roster or whatever the 80, whatever limit is. And a lot of those guys are never going to play in a conference game, in their case, an ACC game, right? But I'm with you. I don't know if I would have told an audience that.
I wouldn't have thrown out a number.
No.
Because now they're all looking around the locker room like, well, I know who those guys, I know who he's talking
am
about.
Am I one of the 25?
Well, if you're not a starter.
So, in the end, Matt, this none of this surprises you from Menon Hall, right? And he also took a shot at the press during the thing.
Yes, which I think, but you know what, I think if you go back to the original article, which is by a local guy, and then you take Menon Hall's shot at the press with something about, it sounded like, and this is not a political statement, it sounded Trumpian. His shot at the press, like, oh, they're inaccurate and blah, blah. Right. I was like, it felt like he was taking a page out of that book. But the other thing about this, though, and I think one of the comments that you've not touched on was when he talked about scheduling.
Oh, yes. I didn't talk about the scheduling. You're right.
I want to schedule the worst P5 team we can find. And he specifically said, I don't want to go back to BYU. I don't want to travel to BYU. I'd rather them come here and lose.
Yes.
That felt inflammatory.
It's not inflammatory. All he's really saying is what he kind of said when he was at BYU, and I think one of the reasons that he was okay with leaving was he didn't like the schedules, the independent schedules. He looked in the future, and he was right. These schedules are going to be intense, and how can you create a culture of winning if you're playing above your weight class so much? Now, I don't know if it's inflammatory. I see where you're going. I just think in the end, he realizes who they are, and he wants to try to set them up to succeed, right? And scheduling really, really good P5 teams and then playing an ACC conference schedule is not probably in Virginia's best interests in the short term. Right.
So if I translate that to the BYU program, are you in the what I believe is the Jerem Jordan camp of we need to stop scheduling all these really hard teams?
Not fully. I think every year you probably need to swap out one more of these tough games. And Homo has made it very clear that it's hard to do that because you have to do this so far in advance. Right? Like, it's hard to find a true balance. I think Homo's trying to find a balance. But if you look at the schedule we played last year and this year, and I think 19, if you look at it, might be as daunting as well, though I don't remember it off the top of my head. It's going to be hard. Yeah. So, you know, 19 starts with Utah, then we're at Tennessee, then USC, Washington, and at Toledo. I mean, a good team could go 2-3 or 1-4 in that stretch, right?
Yep.
But part of me steps back and says, what's the difference if we got into a P5 conference, right? There's no difference, right? If we were playing a Pac-12 schedule, we'd be facing USC and Washington anyway. You know what I mean? Right? So, So that's why I'm not fully in the Jerem camp, only in that I think if you build the program the right way, you can be more competitive. But I think he's right. But I think he's right in this. The chances of us going undefeated, which were always low, right? We had how many undefeated teams in the history of BYU?
Yeah, not a lot.
It's even less now than it was before because of these schedules, right? But no, so I guess I'm not in the Jerem camp. Keep the schedules coming. What about you? You're not in the Jerem camp, right?
No, I'm not in the Jerem camp. But the thing is I think we've all got to realign our expectations, though. If these are the schedules we're going to play, we got to understand that we're not going to go undefeated.
Right.
So, and you know, but the whole, well, if we played an easier schedule, we'd go undefeated and get into the playoffs. We're not getting into the playoffs.
We could
as an independent.
We could, but it's going to take an incredibly special season and a huge amount of luck.
Followed by a special season and a huge amount of luck. Right? I think you have to do it a year or two.
I don't think so. I don't think you have to. Not with our schedule. If we were undefeated or one loss going into the college football playoff, you have a shot. Yeah, I agree with you. It's probably better if you do it 2 years in a row. But you have a shot. But the chances of going to the playoff, like you said, are almost zero.
Right. I
mean, they're so small, because even if you win undefeated, you would need a bunch of chaos in the P5 conferences. Now, right. If they expand it to 8, then the math changes a bit. I think it still is very, very small, but you've got a better chance, right? Because there'll be pressure on that committee to put in at 8 people that aren't the, you know, champions of the P5 conferences, right? So anyway, well, you know what my favorite part about this is, you know, all the Bronco haters got to come out and say how much they hate Bronco again.
I love it when they get to renew their hatred.
Yeah, renew their hatred for a coach that restored the program from truly the worst period of my life in the program, and you know, had some really special seasons. I hate him too. Why would you like him? You know, won 11 games a couple times. That's who wants that?
That just cooks my grits.
Yeah, I'd rather have 6-6. Anyway,
winning 11 games, the nerve.
Well, let's just roll into football. So, friend of the podcast, Jay Drew, who of course we mentioned a few weeks ago, was let go by the Salt Lake Tribune in their round of layoffs. He's actually now freelancing, and he's writing for Forbes, covering the Jazz, the Utes, and the Cougars. So I'm sorry, Jay, you have to cover the University of Utah, but we all have our tough things about life.
Life is all about trade-offs.
But anyway, he writes about that Grimes needs to right the ship. And it's a good article. I think in the end, what it comes down to is this, is what you and I have talked about all offseason. If BYU's offense can be a top 50 offense, then this team has a chance to win 7 or 8 games. If BYU's offense is, we don't expect it to be as bad as last year, but if it is not in that top 50, top 40 type of frame, there's a good chance they lose 8 games. Even with an improved offense from last year. So, I mean, am I saying that right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to is Grimes. This season really comes down to whether that offense can move the ball against P5 quality defenses.
Right. That's you have to be able. You're going to have to be able to do that.
Get past the 50, for example. That's positive.
Good place to start.
Be a good place to start. Though I don't know if we're going to play quite the level of defenses we played last year. It's hard to know at this point. We might. A couple of these teams are pretty good. Matt, so Justin Sweeney, returning to the tweet bag here.
Sweeney. Am I supposed to give you the tweet bag on that one, too?
No. No, okay, you don't
just
have to.
The Sweeney is good enough there.
Yeah, the Sweeney's good enough. So here's his question. It's a good one. Assume the following. We beat Cal, McNeese State, Utah State, Hawaii, Northern Illinois, UMass, and New Mexico State. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know why we're assuming those ones, but that's what Justin wants us to do. All right, cool. And then
I'm just following the directions.
Losses versus Arizona, Boise State, and two of the following. Washington, Wisconsin, and Utah. Okay? So pick one of those three. I think that's what he wants. One of the three, Washington, Wisconsin, and the University of Utah, that you want to win the most. Okay, so if you had to pick just one of those three, we're going to win one of those three games this year, the Cougars are. Which one? And why?
So, I'm going to pick Utah here, but it's not for the reason that you think.
Rivalry! Holy war!
It's not for the rivalry. While that would be cool and it'd be good to finally win one, because let's face it, like, losing is lame. Nobody likes to lose.
Nobody likes it.
if we get to that point of the season and we've beat Cal and all these other teams that he listed, I feel like there's a lot of math in this question. This is like an SAT question. Come on, Sweeney. Did you get this off the LSAT? What is this?
He did.
Okay, so the deal is this. If that's what the schedule looks like, if that's what the win-loss column looks like, you need the win at the end of the season for bowl selection.
Correct.
Memories of your Washington and Wisconsin losses and the games that nobody was expecting you to win those anyway. They are an eternity ago. They happen in September. Nobody cares.
Right.
But if you go on the run kind of that he describes here on the back end of the schedule, and then you lose that last game against your only decent opponent in a month, like that's going to hurt you on your bowl selection.
Yeah, so look at the way he's done it, right? Say you've got Utah State. You start this win. You beat Utah State. You beat Hawaii. You beat Northern Illinois. You lose to Boise on the road, but respectable loss. Beat UMass. Beat New Mexico State. I'm with you. There's a lot of momentum to be gained in the bowl, but also just it'll give the season, you know, because of where that Utah game is played, the memory of the season will be a lot better than even if the record is exactly the same, but the win is against Washington or Wisconsin back in September. Now, I totally hear what you're saying. I want it to be Wisconsin because I'm going to be there. So, and I want to see them win. So,
fair enough.
Selfish. There is a chance that I will see two BYU football games back-to-back weeks. I may be there for the Cal game, and I will almost certainly be there for the Wisconsin game, which is 3 hours from my house.
You may be in Provo for the Cal game.
Yep.
That is awesome.
And then, you know, you and I have talked about potentially doing a third game. So I might see three games, which would be the most I have seen in a season since I lived in Utah.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be a good year. Well, of course, if they win them. If I go to UMass and if we go to Gillette and we lose to UMass,
I'm afraid to threaten about what I would do.
Don't threaten, because you know you should shave your head. How about that? You'll shave.
There we go.
Head.
I will shave my head.
You'll shave my head. So anyway, Matt, I thought an interesting story on the Deseret News by Amy Donaldson about a former UVU soccer player and current doctrinal candidate from the University of Minnesota.
Doctoral candidate, not doctrinal. Doctrinal, unless she's in the religion department.
Well, she might be.
You meant to say doctoral candidate.
I think you're right, but a little doctrine never hurt anybody. Her name is Tasha Bell, and she is BYU's new player development and on-campus recruiting coordinator. And I just thought it was kind of a cool story, and it also just shows how Kalani Sitake puts together his staff, and Tom Homo met Tasha and kind of encouraged her to apply for this position. So Matt, I read this and I kind of thought, you know, I am, now that Sitake seems to be in full control of what's going on, I kind of like the way he, as you read the quotes in this story, how he decides to put together his staff. Like that he doesn't, you know, he's looking for a certain amount of creativity. He's looking for certain qualities. And I know the results are going to have to be there, right, on the field. But I really want Sitake to be successful because I love the way he thinks about trying to put together a staff, especially now that I think he's got, full control over doing that. And, you know, Tasha Bell is an example of maybe a somewhat unorthodox choice that could be a difference maker because you're not just following what every other and filling your staff with exactly what every other program in the country would do.
Yeah, I think I don't even know. Is there another program in the country that has a woman in the role as a recruiting coordinator?
That they didn't mention that in the article, and I don't know the answer. I know
I have no way of looking. I have no real way of looking.
There are a few women on staffs of college football. None of them is like assistant coaches, but in that I'm aware of, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But I do remember reading that some of them are in other support roles, not trainer or administrative, but some support roles. So I'm guessing maybe yes. But certainly it's not a common practice.
But I think with if you look at what Satake is saying, is he liked her philosophy, and they just kind of stumbled into this, right? I mean, yeah. She's up at Minnesota and meets Holmo, and it just kind of comes together, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the killer quote from Satake was he was really blown away by how intelligent and creative she was. We just really connected with her ideas, her philosophy on sports and life. And Satake thought, this is someone I want around my players. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this works out. And obviously she was a college athlete, so she has some advantage there of knowing at least a little bit about what it's like, to be recruited and all those things. Speaking of people that were recruited but unfortunately are not staying, we missed Peyton Dastrup, the announcement of him transferring last week while we were off. So Gary Payne has a question for us. He says, Dastrup is transferring. Who is likely to take his role as the most animated bench fan? And why the heck didn't he play more? Will it matter next season? Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag painbag. Matt, do you have a candidate for that role?
I don't know that any. I don't. This is not something that you don't just replace Dastrup's bench role.
No, no. Like, I mean,
right? Not everybody even has that.
No, there's some years we haven't had it.
I don't think we're going to have it.
Mm.
I don't know that the torch was passed to anybody.
Mm. Yeah, let's see.
Is that the wrong answer? Is that the boring answer?
A boring answer. I'm trying to think, did anybody else last year get super animated besides him? Worthington, maybe? Is he the heir apparent? Maybe. And the thing is, I don't know enough about the new guys' personalities to know if any of them are that guy, right?
It's hard to say if it's any of the new guys.
And
you just don't know.
The answer is, I said it all year, Dastrup should have played more. I still, to this day, have no idea why I didn't. I think we would have been a better team. I don't know if it affects this next year's team because there were big guys that came in. And I think Dastrup saw that. He didn't play last year when there were fewer big guys. You know, it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think Dastrup left because of lack of playing time in the past. I think he foresaw continued lack of playing time going forward.
Yeah.
That's really what does it, right?
And that's fine. I mean, I don't have any issue, as we've said many times on the show, with somebody making that decision. You know, in his case, I think he's right. I don't think he would have gotten the playing time. Sometimes when people have done it, I've thought, actually, they probably are, you know. But a lot of times they talk these things over with the coaches, right? And get the coaches' assessment before they make it. Matt, I forgot something about football. So we're going to go back to football for a second.
Wow, we are going to back this train up, everybody.
Backing up, getting your DeLorean. It's time to go back to the future. Matt, they announced some game times for pretty much the first half of the schedule. So let's go through this first half of the schedule and give thumbs up or thumbs down to the game time as someone that lives in the central time zone. Okay?
They don't play them in the afternoon anymore.
They don't. All right. The first game, of course, is at Arizona. That will be on ESPN at 8:45 Mountain Time. Thumb up or thumb down? I'm fine. Thumb up.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's a little late for us to start, but it's the first game of the season. I'll be wired, and we'll be excited, and we'll do a half-time show.
We all jacked up on the Mountain Dew, Pops.
That's right, we will. September 8th, of course, is California in Provo at 8:15 Mountain Time. Same. I'm fine. Thumbs up.
Fine.
The one I'm really excited about is September 15th at Wisconsin, 1:30. Oh, by the way, the California game will be on ESPN2. The Wisconsin game will be somewhere on the ESPN ABC family of networks. 1:30 Mountain Time, 2:30 Central or local time at Camp Randall. Super excited about that starting time.
Yeah.
Super excited. McNeese State the next week will be 4 p.m. Mountain Time, which is... What's with that start time?
Yeah, that's weird.
Thumbs down.
I don't know. Feel like ESPN's trying to... Like,
that's not ESPN, that's BYU TV.
Well, it'll be on ESPN3. I wonder if they're like, hey, there's not a lot of games on at 4. It's a little bit of a quiet time. So let's put this game on then and maybe people will watch it.
I mean, I don't know. Put it in the middle of the day. Washington game, of course, that's not up to... It's probably going to be on the Pac-12 network and we won't be able to see it.
That's going to be great.
Friday, October 5th, of course, the Friday night game before General Conference. 7, why is it listed as Eastern time?
I see it 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain.
Yeah, that's. I'm looking at FBSschedules.com. They've just got it listed wrong. So 7 p.m. Mountain time, also on ESPN2. Love it. It's great. Great time to start a game. And then none of the other games... times have been announced. So far, again, you got those first two games with late starts for us that are east of the Rockies. But it's so far so good.
Yeah, this is very doable.
It's very doable. The McNeese State, I mean, they're really threatening my ability to be able to watch that game in its entirety. BYU. It's
why? Because it starts at 5?
Yeah, it starts at 5. Like, we could have other stuff going on. It's a terrible time.
I kind of feel the same way about the Wisconsin time, to be honest. It's 2:30 in the afternoon.
I'm going to be there. So I'm not worried about that.
I'm not going to be there.
I love it because this allows me to do it all in one day. Yeah. Because, I'm not taking 5 kids to a football game. Are you kidding me? I'm not stupid. I know some
people. He's not stupid, folks.
I know some people do that, but then I don't get to see any of the game. I mean,
no, you don't do that to a game that you care about.
I've got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Like, you do that if you live in Utah and you take your kids to the McNeese State game.
Right.
That's how that works.
All right, so Matt, we're going to finish today with a game of what are we calling this? See a guy on a plane.
See a guy on a plane.
Is that what we're calling this? This game? And this one comes from Tyler Anderson, which, by the way, if you want to join the tweet bag, you can do it in at least 5 ways. You can do it on Twitter, at @BYU_RiseShout, on Instagram, at @BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook, at facebook.com/RiseAndShout, email, like Tyler did, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, and if you actually know one of our, cell phone numbers, you can text us. And Matt's cell phone number is... I'm just kidding.
Stop it.
I'm just kidding.
Stop it.
Come on. So here's Tyler's. Oh, by the way, before we start this, you actually saw somebody, not on a plane, but in security. So why don't you tell us your little run-in with college football fame?
All right, I'm going to tell it the way I told it to you at first, and then I'll tell the truth. So I was going through security in the New Orleans airport, and I stopped at the bench after I got through to put my shoes and everything back on.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a conversation that caught my attention, and I turned, and standing right next to me was Darius Geis, formerly of LSU, now of the Washington Redskins. And he was there with somebody who I didn't recognize, who I believe is also on an NFL roster based on some of the gear he was carrying. And must be some other LSU player. And so, former LSU player, whatever. And so I turned to Geis and I said, hey, I'll race you down the terminal. And he declined. That entire story is true, except for when I talked to Geis. I didn't say that. But that would have been awesome had I said it. Would have been awesome. And then he was clearly trying to avoid being recognized. Right, he was standing with his back to everybody and went straight into the lounge and... And he was clearly hoping, had headphones on.
The Baton Rouge airport has a lounge? What are they, like, five gates?
I was in New Orleans. I was flying out
of
New Orleans.
Oh, you were flying out of New Orleans. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. The Baton Rouge Airport may not have a lounge.
Yeah, probably doesn't.
I've only been – I haven't flown out of there a ton. So, but, yeah, anyway. But that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good as the time that I saw Jack Del Rio in the New Orleans airport, but it was up there.
Or the time you saw – didn't you meet George Foreman?
I met George Foreman in the Houston airport in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
I got a picture with Foreman, and he put a fist up like he was punching me in the face.
It was awesome. Yes, that was good.
It was awesome.
And he called you George the whole time?
He did call me George the whole time. And then I challenge you to a fight. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
He was wearing like that kind of hat that Nick Saban wears out of practice, you know?
Yeah.
He was wearing one of those deals.
Yeah. Nice.
Anyway.
Nice.
That's a great story. I see famous people in airports all the time.
So I saw Ryan Millar. You remember that? Ryan Millar. I went up and talked to him, too. I went up and said,
because you kind of know him.
Well, I'd met him in college. I knew his wife because we worked together at the Brick Oven. You know,
I know. Well, we all went out to dinner one time, and I got to meet him.
Yeah, nice guy. I saw. Oh, why can't I think of his name right now? He plays Spock, in the new Spock, the new movies.
Oh,
I could see his face. He was also on that show Heroes, and he cut people's head off with his finger. That sounds creepy, but it was actually creepy. I'm gonna think of his name.
What is his name? Whatever his name is.
Zach. Something. If only the internet could tell us. If only there was some
this
way.
Resource with limitless information, and I had to access it at my fingertips.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's nothing that we. Zachary Quinto is his name. I saw him in the Pittsburgh airport. I believe he's from Pittsburgh. I was actually there for a job interview, and I saw him in the airport. And I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, you're Zachary Quinto." And at the time, he was Siler on Heroes, the show Heroes. I think he might have been cast as Spock at that point. Maybe even not. I don't know. And I went up and chatted with him. He was a super nice guy. I don't ask to take pictures with people, typically, so I didn't ask him. Though, if I had, I would have had him cutting my head off, like with his finger.
Well, I was just a lad when I did the George Foreman.
Oh, you could. With George Foreman, you got to do it.
And he was into it.
Oh, of course he was. He's George.
He may have even suggested it.
Yeah, that's. I mean, there's a pretty good chance that he suggested it. Okay, so here's what Tyler wants us to do. We go on a plane and we see these individuals. Okay, he's got six people for us to react to. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. So, and it's most likely first class that we're walking through. Okay.
Yeah, I think all of these guys fly first class.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. The first one is J.R. Smith of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You see J.R. Smith on the plane. Matt, what are you going to say to him?
I waffled here, but I'd go like this. I'd be like, "Time out! Time out, J.R.!"
No, I wouldn't say anything. I'd just turn and run the other way. You don't need to say anything.
That's
just turn
baloney.
And run.
How do you
other
not
way
know the score? How do you not know what the score is?
He knew what he had the wrong score in his head. I'm with you. I don't know how you messed
like,
that up in a finals game.
In just a minute, take just a second. Everybody listening to the podcast right now, take a moment. Okay?
Okay, I'm taking a moment.
Okay, and I know not everybody that listens to the podcast is like a working professional or whatever, but just think about this for a minute. What is the professional equivalent of what he did? In your world, what is the professional equivalent of what he did? You were on. There is no bigger stage than where he was. You have a chance to steal game one on the road.
So I've got it.
You don't even know the score.
I've got the professional equivalent. I worked for a company, and at the national sales meeting of this company, the group vice president, running about I'd say probably $5 billion of business, okay, gets up, introduces the whole thing, and we're launching a new product. I wasn't working on this product, but a different group was launching this new product, big, huge launch, okay? And they throw up onto the screen, and, you know, these are...
You people, threw up onto the screen? You know, just shut that up. Is embarrassing.
Shut up. For people who haven't been to, like, these big corporate sales meetings, they are like the Dunder Mifflin thing. It's crazy. They've got, like, the big screens. They're up on stage.
They're playing CNC Music Factory, getting everybody pumped up.
Crazy music. Nobody actually is pumped up, but we all pretend to, all that kind of stuff. So he's up there. The product is up on the screen, like, you know, like 25 feet high, right, behind him. He says his entire presentation, the competitive product name, brand name, over and over again. He says it probably 6 times. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this was a guy that memorized, you know, a lot of times they do the prompters, right? This guy memorized his speeches, okay?
Huge mistake. Don't memorize your speeches.
And he keeps saying, and finally somebody shouts out, "Hey, you're saying the wrong name!" Like, breaks the silence. So that's the professional equivalent, isn't it? It's got to be a big deal. It
can't That's close, right?
It can't be,
but it's got to be.
You send an email and copy the wrong person.
The business. I think on top of that, he's got to lose business as a result. Do you know how much money losing that game potentially cost LeBron James?
Why? They would have lost in 5. Who cares?
Oh, it changes the whole. I think that changes the whole complexion of that series.
No.
I don't know if it means the Cavs. I don't know that it means the Cavs win the championship.
Oh my gosh!
But
stop it.
I think that if the Cavs win that game, I think they win at least one more.
No, they don't. They were outclassed.
You lose the way they ended up losing that game. You're done. You are done. It's
no,
over.
You're not. No, you're not. People have lost.
Apparently you are. Apparently
people have lost terrible games before and come back.
No, but you had no chance against these guys. If you steal game one on the road, I don't know. I just feel like it's a big deal.
Wasn't game one. That was like game 3, wasn't it?
No, it was game one. Game one on the road. We've just been off for a couple weeks.
Yeah, we have been off for a few weeks. Anyway,
I threw what the equivalent of that is, I don't see a scenario where J.R. Smith doesn't nearly get fired.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Or fired, period.
All right, so you see LeBron James on the plane. What do you say to him?
I say the same thing. Call a timeout, dude. What's wrong with you? How do you not know you had a timeout? He didn't know either. Losers. No wonder they lost.
Wait a second. Stop for a second. I get this should. What about the coaching staff?
Coaches can
call a timeout.
Anybody can call a timeout.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I get that the players, but part of the problem is you don't know what JR is doing, because nobody should be calling a timeout. He rebounded the ball 4 feet.
You should have just gone right back up.
You go right freaking back up.
It was a bunny. It was a gimme.
You either get a decent shot or you get a shot at getting fouled. Right?
Right. But I think when he dribbled away, everybody was so confused.
That's
that
why
nobody
I don't
knew what
LeBron.
To do. It was complete
chaos.
I don't
blame anybody but J.R. Smith and the coaching staff. The coaching staff, if you see him dribbling away, you call timeout. Like, I get it, but I don't blame the guy that missed the free throw, because you miss free throws. That just happens. It stinks, but, you know, that just happens. You can't not know that you were tied. Right? You can't not know when you grab that rebound. You think you're running time off the clock to win the game, right? And you should also notice that no one's trying to foul you, right? So anyway, all right. So Steph Curry, you see Steph Curry, what are you going to say to him?
Yeah, I'll let you do this one first.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say to him. I'd say, Steph, you're a heck of a player. I do want to tell you that one time I did say on a podcast that I thought Jemmer would have a better NBA career than you. I said that on this podcast.
That's embarrassing. I wouldn't have brought that part up. I would have left the last part out.
But I did. I did say that. I really thought Jemmer... I don't know if I actually thought that intellectually, but I thought it emotionally.
I would say to Steph Curry, I would say, I'll play in horse.
I you. Do you think you can beat him in horse?
It depends. I'd have to modify the rules a little bit, and yes.
And yes, if I cheated, I could do it.
No, I would not be cheating. I would be playing under a modified set of rules.
Fine, fine. Whatever you want to call cheating is fine. You can call cheating whatever you want. All right, so then he has three from people that are in the movie Solo. Now, I know you haven't seen the movie, so you're a little handicapped on this one.
That's just fine. It's never stopped me before.
But you know the characters, okay? The first one is the gentleman that plays Han Solo, which is Alden Ehrenreich. I don't know how you say his last
name.
Whatever his
name is. So, a year from now, nobody's going to care.
So, Matt, you see the new young Han Solo on the plane. What do you say to him?
I look him right in the eye and I say, I've got a bad feeling about this.
I would just say scruffy. Yes. I would just say scruffy looking nerf herder.
Oh, scruffy looking nerf herder. Yes.
Yeah. So what if you see Donald Glover, who plays in the new movie, plays Lando Calrissian?
I don't have a real clever one for that.
And he has been in a few other movies, so you could use a reference from one of his other.
That's probably the route I'd have to go.
But I would probably say something along the lines of, I don't know what I would say. I don't know. I was never a big Lando guy.
I was going to go with, I'm getting too old for this, and then I realized we're talking about Donald Glover, not Danny Glover.
Yeah, not That's Danny. Difference. Actually, you should say that. You should difference. Have said, I getting... loved you in Lethal Weapon. That would be terrific. Actually, what I always say I'm going to do, but I'd never do this because it's such a punk move, is find their worst movie and say, I loved you in that movie. And yeah. I don't think it's my idea. I think I stole it from somebody. I think Bill Simmons or somebody.
But isn't that basically what we did with this Alden guy? Oh! Snap.
Yes. Oh.
I'm just kidding. I haven't even seen the movie.
Mean.
And I,
that's mean.
Anyway, I haven't even seen the movie, so I can't really.
All right, and the last one is a director of Solo, A Star Wars Story, Ron Howard.
I think whatever you do here, you have to only acknowledge Happy Days.
Okay, you can do
Happy
Days.
Oh, you're the guy from Happy Days.
This was what I would say. When is Willow 2 happening?
That's a good question.
When is the sequel, Ron? We're waiting.
On that, Ron.
It's been like 30-something years.
Come on, Ronald.
It's time to get Val Kilmer back as Mad Mardigan.
There's a peck here with an acorn pointed at me.
I stole the baby from this stupid Daikini while he was taking a pee-pee. Anyway, that's a fantastic movie. I love that movie.
I'd forgotten about that line.
Willow, you idiot. Anyway, if this didn't prove we were big dorks, well,
you just quoted Willow.
You just haven't listened to this podcast.
Sorry, everybody. I apologize.
No, there's no apologies necessary.
Like Willow's terrific. Here tonight.
Willow's terrific. Don't apologize for Willow. How dare you?
Watch Willow tonight.
How dare you? Yeah, I'm good luck.
On the Netflix.
Good luck finding it. Good luck finding Willow. You better own the DVD, buddy, or you're not seeing it.
I know you own the DVD.
You better believe I own the DVD.
No, I'm saying that as factual. I know that you own the DVD.
And on VHS. I also own on VHS.
Do you have a VCR?
I do not. I do not. So I have tapes, but I don't have a VCR.
My wife went last year. She purchased a VCR-DVD combo so that she could try and get some of it, you know, because, you know, it takes a couple of rounds, but you can get something off of VHS into a digital format.
Yes, you're right, right.
And, she was, because she knows me well, she went and was getting, like, my high school football highlight videos and stuff. And
of course she was.
Off of VHS and all that. She did it as a gift.
Glory days!
As soon as she got that all done, my youngest, who is now 3 years old, immediately started jamming things into the deck where the cassettes come in and out. How did VCRs ever survive small children? It makes no sense to me.
He's
put money in there. He's put cookies in it. He's put matchbox cars in there. He's put stuff in there. You go in there and it's like the ship in a bottle. You're like, I don't know how this fit. How did you do this, you little genius? He's a little wizard. I don't know how.
They engineered stuff better. They engineered stuff better back then. I don't know because, you know, your son isn't the only one that did it. I'm almost 100% certain when you were three, you were stuffing stuff in VCR.
I bet you I was.
You were kind of a hellion, actually, at three.
It wasn't just a phase.
No, that was just kind of your state of existence. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. This has been a fun episode. We will be back next week, I think, right? You can do it next week, right?
I love it when we have these
conversations on the show.
Next week's not going to be busy at all, because, by the way, everybody.
Oh, that's right.
I've recorded my last podcast from Louisiana.
Yeah.
We are relocating the home office to Houston, Texas, and next week is when that's all going down. So, let's record a podcast.
So we may not, or I may be on with a guest next week.
Not our usual night, but we'll figure that out, everybody. We're happy to open up this part of the sausage making for you, but let's move on.
Yeah, we'll move on. But Matt, welcome back to Texas, buddy.
Pretty excited.
Welcome back to Texas. And then, otherwise, you know, if you haven't already, subscribe to us on iTunes or your favorite podcast service. If you haven't given us a rating on iTunes, please do that. Because it really helps with the algorithms and helps people discover the podcast. And then lastly, of course, is, you know, if you haven't followed us on those social media, go and follow us, because sometimes we post stuff on occasion. So, and it's sometimes a little interesting. Or at least you'll know when the podcast launches.
Well, you're really selling it. You're putting on the hard sell.
We don't
tonight.
Post a ton on Instagram. I started doing that, and then you know, Sweeney made fun of my face. You know, and it hurt my feelings. That's not true. Well, it's true. He made fun of my face. It didn't hurt my feelings because I don't have any. So it's hard to hurt.
No, you have no soul.
Don't have a heart. Anyway, well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.